So let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we'll finish up with chapter 1 today, and we will go into some incredible stories in chapter 2. The title is Listen Up. John chapter 1, and let's start with verse 43. Luke chapter 1, verse 43. I'm reading out of New King James. If you don't have that version, it's okay. But I would encourage you to get a New King James Bible. It is a outstanding version. There's a lot of good versions, but the New King James is one of the best. I'll say it that way. And if you want to get a Bible, we have them at the book cart. We've purchased several New King James Bibles. And go over there and look at those, because there's some real nice Bibles over there. John chapter 1, starting with verse 43. I'm just seeing if you're listening. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." That's what he said. Jesus is the same yesterday and today forever. He's not a respecter of persons. He's saying the same thing to us. Follow Jesus. Now, Philip was with from Bethsaida, a city of Andrew and Peter. Philip and Nathanael, and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophet wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." It's so interesting to me. Listen to me very carefully, because the Jewish people were looking for the Messiah, and they had the description of what the Messiah was going to, where he was going to come from, all this detail. So, listen to me. If you want to know the truth, it's really not that difficult. But you have to have a willingness to know the truth. You have to have a willingness to know the truth. I mean, there are people that knew the prophetic, they knew the Old Testament, they knew Isaiah, they knew Daniel, they knew so many of the prophetic scriptures that were in the Old Testament. They knew it all, and Jesus was right in front of their face, and they didn't recognize the Messiah. But these guys did. It's very interesting. And Nathanael said to him, verse 46, and Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Pioneer High School?" Ha! Come and see. Yeah, you never know. Okay, I know it doesn't say that. Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite." Listen to me. Jesus said to Nathanael, coming towards him, and he said to him, "Behold," he's saying to Nathanael, "Look." But Nathanael's coming to him and he's saying, "Look." But he's saying it to Nathanael. Watch this. "Look. An Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Let me tell you about Nathanael. There was some high degree of holiness going on in Daniel's life, in Nathanael's life. And Jesus sees it, and he recognizes it, and he prophetically speaks it over his life. Let me tell you something. The prophetic is, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit will tell us things to come. Amen. And there's not only things that God will tell us of things to come that will can bless us, like when the Holy Spirit told me about that stock that I bought for really, really cheap and sold for really, really not cheap. How did I know? Holy Spirit told me. Amen. And the Holy Spirit said on all kinds of other stock that was going up, but not going up at the same pace that this one was going to go up. Come on. And told me, no, don't do that. Watch this. And as that stock, those other stocks are going up, yeah. I'm losing money. Oh, come on. But how many know God's plan is the best plan? Yeah. Because the stock that I bought, you know what? I was going to be able to buy cheaper, and it was going to pass up all those other stocks. That's right. Amen. How many know God knows what's up? And so, and the reason I'm telling you this is because, guys, we've got to allow God to tell us what to do.
Exactly. Come on. Amen to that.
Amen. Where to go? Here's one. When to shut up?
Oh.
Amen. Yeah. Who to text? Who not to text? The other day something happened and I was texting this guy and just you know what? Just wanted to anyway, I don't want can't go into all the details. But I had this desire to text this guy, and the Holy Spirit said, no, not now. I was like, I'm gonna text him anyway. And he said, no, not now. What'd you do? I didn't text him. Why not? Because you wanted to. Here's why not. Because I know, listen, this taken years for me to, and I'm still working on it. It's taken years for me to perfect what I'm still working on. Because it's not perfect yet. I'm just perfecting it. But listen, why didn't I? Here's why. Because I understand that God knows what I don't know. Does that make sense? So I don't have to figure, you know, that's how we are. We're like, oh, I want to figure it out. You don't have to figure it all out. You just have to be obedient. So, Pastor, I didn't text him. Amen. Then I went to text him today. The Holy Spirit said, not yet. What's going on? I don't know. I don't have to figure it out. I just got to walk it out. Does that make sense? So he sees Nathanael, and he's able to prophetically see something of holiness in his life. How many ever lost some weight, and somebody will look at you and go, wow, you lost some weight? How many of you are like, yeah. Come on. That's what's going on. He's saying, let me tell you what, Nathanael, you walk in a degree of holiness. Amen. Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? How many know God knows you when you were in your mom's womb? Before you had a name, he knows you. When Tyler was little, I mean really little. How many know you're little before we see you? Come on, hello? Can I preach to somebody? Listen, let me just say this. You know what? Listen, church, how many know we need to lead in morality? You said, Pastor, but almost every time I deal with this subject, I take the time to preface what I'm going to say. If you've had an abortion, you know what? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know what? And so you don't need to walk condemned. Having said that, the church needs to lead in this fight for life. Listen, we don't need to be self-righteous, but we need to stand up. Because let me tell you what, before 1973, this nation recognized. And that in 1971, there was so much, there was so little less understood about science that that baby was growing inside of a woman. And even in 1971, we were able to figure out that's a life and we shouldn't kill it. Amen. Here's what the Bible says. At the end days, men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. It's my right. Oh my goodness. Listen. It's your right not to get pregnant. But once you get pregnant, you know what? We as a society need to say, no. You know, listen, you wonder why it's so easy for people to kill people nowadays, including suicide themselves. What do you think's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. There is a atmosphere of life isn't very important. Listen, I'm telling you what, it's a spiritual battle. And you know what? Get in the game, Christians. Because to whom much is given, much is required. And we have the truth on this. They don't need to back off. You know, there are certain people, you know, political people, watch this, and they will fight, watch this, they will fight laws, just a simple law that says this, hey, why don't we make it where anyone who has an abortion has to at least see what they're doing. They have to see the fetus before they have that abortion. Here, let me tell you the uncomfortable truth. There's all kinds of negative ramifications mentally and physically. See, the society won't tell you this. Media's not telling you this. Hollywood's not telling you this. Planned Parenthood is not telling you this. There is all kinds of negative ramifications to women that have abortions. Amen. Amen. So why don't we at least have full disclosure and tell, yeah, you know what, we do that with all kinds of other procedures, do we not? Medical procedures. How come we don't do it that? How come there's such a fight against that? Here, let me tell you why. Because it's not about a medical procedure. It's about a spiritual fight. That's what it's about. Amen. Amen. And so, God sees the holy standard that this young man has, and he speaks out to it. Amen. You know what? Listen, it is always right to make right choices. It is always right to do the right thing. And don't be deceived. Stop being deceived. Stop thinking you can sow to the flesh and you're going to reap joy and peace. Stop thinking that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Stop thinking that, you know what, to sow righteousness is going to be a bummer life. It's just the opposite. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are you learning something? So he sees this. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." How many know he saw him there, but he knew Philip way before that? Oh, yeah. Amen? That's right. I said Philip, Nathanael. Nathanael answered and said to him, watch this, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Man, this trips me out. Way back then, they already know that that's the Messiah. Amen. They know it. Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, did you believe? You will see greater things than these." And said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you will see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." says, let me tell you what, Daniel, you're going to see. You think that was something. You're going to see me do some things that are just absolutely supernatural. Can I tell you what? Listen to me. You can't hang out with God that you don't start to see the supernatural. You cannot hang out with God that these religious organizations that want to separate Jesus from the power of the Holy Spirit, from the power of God. It's ridiculous. Amen. Oh, yeah, all the gifts went away with the apostles. Where does it say that in the Bible? That's ridiculous. Listen, it's one of the reasons we have it plastered on the wall. Expect to be loved, expect to be taught, expect to be changed. Come into this place with an expectation. Amen. It's so critical that you expect that something's going to happen in your life. And you can't hang out with God that you don't see the supernatural. Why? Because he's not natural. He's superior to the natural. That's what supernatural means. He is not restricted to the laws of nature. That's why he was able to walk on the water. Why? Because he's not restricted to that. So you hang, and he's tell him, hey, Nathaniel, let me tell you what. You think that was something. Man, you hang out with me a little bit, you're going to see a lot of cool stuff. Can I tell you what Christians ought to be? Christians ought to be expecting the supernatural every day in their life. Amen. Start to, you don't want to get your hopes up. You know what? Where'd you read that in the Bible? You can find that. You can read from Genesis to Revelation. You're going to find that nowhere in the Bible. You can find just the opposite. Get your expectation up. Get your hopes up. Start to expect the supernatural in your life. And that's what he tells him. Man, you think that was something? I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to blow you out. You want to see some things. Now look at chapter 2, verse 1. Now on the third day, there was a wedding in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Wow. We're going to be invited to the wedding. Let's see what's going to happen. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. How many ever been to a wedding, you know what, that lasts a little while? Okay. Well, Jewish weddings could last a week. Yeah, oh, for sure. And they run out of wine, and that's not a good thing. So look what he says. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not come. Now check this out. Okay, now you got to understand, this is not Jesus. Jesus isn't 12 here. Jesus at this point is a full grown adult. So some people read this and they don't get it. This is an adult talking to an adult. Amen. Does that make sense? He's like, what's mom? Really? But here's what I want you to catch. Look at his response. Look at his mom's response. Is this not a typical mom? Just plow through. It's like, oh, yeah, whatever. Boom, watch this. Watch your response. So funny. Jesus said to her, woman, what does, watch your response. Verse 5. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to do, do it. Did you hear your son? He's like, Mom, what is this? What? Okay, they're at home. What does that have to do with me? And then he's up front. This is not my time. And then in response, like he didn't even say it. He's like, oh yeah, whatever. Then she directs the servants, oh, here, just do whatever he tells you to do. Now, here's the interesting point. Watch this. Here's the interesting point. Look at verse 6. Now, there were set there six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 and 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. Now Jesus is going to, even though he just told his mom, Mom, what does that have to do with me? She says, just do what he said. And then he's like, fill the water pots up. Now, think about it for a minute. Why did he do that? Watch this. Why did he do that when he just said it wasn't his time? Here's why. Because it's always right to do the right thing. Okay. And so, even though, how many know sometimes there's tensions in your life? Does this make sense? You know what I mean? You're trying to get away from the cops. But you know you should obey the speed limit. Okay, that was just a silly example, but okay. That's just a silly example. That's just pastor being silly. Okay, but how many know there's times where there's tensions in your life, and look where Jesus lands. I love where Jesus lands. Here's where he's going to land. I'm going to obey the word. I'm going to honor my mother. That's where I'm going to land. I'm going to honor my mother. See, it's always right to do the right thing. And so there's this tension here, but but his mom, whatever, he's just going to honor his mom. So look what happens. They fill up these water pots to the top, to the brim, and he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. Well, watch this. Who filled up the water pots? What did they fill up the water pots with? Okay. So then he says, dip it up and take it to the main guy. Now here's what I want to say. How many know sometimes the Bible doesn't give us detail of what happened? Let me give you, for instance, when he blessed that bread, when did it multiply? You know, did I'm not saying this. You can't tell me it didn't happen, because we don't know, and I can't tell you it did. But for all we know, when he handed the loaves to the apostles, and they're ripping off. I don't know. That's not what I think happened. I think every time they ripped it off, I think that bread just grew a little bit back. You know what I mean? And they just, as they kept on going. But here's the thing. I don't know. You know what good Bible study teaches, good hermeneutics says? If it doesn't tell you, don't make it up. Just say you don't know. So here's what I don't know. I don't know if when they dipped that water or that wine, I don't know when they dipped it, if it was water or wine. They could have saw it, and it could have been red color already, and they could have gone, whoa, okay? Or it could have been water. Watch this. And they could have had to walk by faith, not by sight. And at some point in time, it could have turned from water into wine. Amen? How many know? We know times like that happening, right? The Bible said to these... to the lepers, And as they walked, they received their healing. Do you remember this? You know what? The Bible says, told that blind man that God put the mud on his eye, go wash it off 7 times. You know what? He could have not saw six of those times. Amen. I'm going to probably use this example Sunday. You know what? Could have been the 7th time that he opened up his eyes and said, wow, I could see. Amen. We don't know. Here's what we know. Here's what I want you to catch. Here's the main thing I want you to catch. God is working in the supernatural. Here's why. Because that's how God works. Because why? He doesn't have limitations. Watch this. And when you're with God, you're in a partnership, in a family with God. How many know if you were a child of Bill Gates, you know what? You probably wouldn't be eating bologna sandwiches tomorrow for lunch. Unless you liked bologna sandwiches. Okay, but you understand what I'm saying. How many know you can have whatever you want to eat tomorrow? What's my point? Here's my point. Listen, when you're dealing with God, he walks in the supernatural. So listen. So it's time. Why do you think this stuff is written? Who do you think this is for? I tell you who this was for. This was for everybody who went to the wedding. Amen. And then watch this, because that's how God works. You know what? Then the guy Taze is like, whoa, trip out on this. What is your problem? Everybody knows what you do is you get to bring the good wine because you're trying to impress all your guests. You bring out the expensive wine, and then you save the cheap stuff for last. Okay? Not vice versa. Why are you holding out? Why you do that? Nobody does that. But how many know what God does is he always does the best. Listen to me. And people get all, it's interesting to me. How many know Americans can be some of the most materialistic people on the face of this earth? Listen, let me tell you what. A lot of times you see it the way you see it. Some of the most materialistic people in the world. Let me tell you what. God has no problem blessing his people. You know what? When we get to heaven and you see how nice it is, you know what? Do me a favor. Don't go think you're going to go up and correct God, you know what? Because he makes the streets of gold. Don't get mad at God because he does things with excellence. Amen. All these self-righteous people, you know what? Watch this. Judging on the external. Listen. This is important. I've known some very, very, not a lot, but some very, very rich people who are some of the most humble people in the world. Some of the most not materialistic people. And I've seen some poor people who are just crazy materialistic. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Be careful that you don't get in this religious trap of making judgments based on what somebody's driving, good or bad. Listen, spirituality has nothing to do with whether you have a lot of money or what you don't have a lot of money. Come on, you can say amen to this. And it needs to be taught. You know what? Because in the body of Christ, there's a lot of junk going on. Amen. You know, people criticizing, making judgments on somebody based on some stupid tabloid, what they said, where this guy lives. Amen? And you get all caught up in that. Amen? Well, let me ask you, Jackson. Really? Let me ask you, Jackson. You know what? What if God spoke to you and told you to give away your home? No, 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 not sell it. Give it to someone. You know, I know pastors who are incredibly blessed. Watch this. But when God spoke to them and said, I want you to give away your house, they figured out that they want to start. I know one man. You know what? And some tabloid, some stupid thing on the internet, you're going to look and you're going to see where he lives and you're going to make judgments on it, and shame on you. Why? Here's why. Because you're judging from the outside. You have no idea what that man has given away. You know, the Bible says, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. What you going to do with that? And you making some ungodly judgment on him. It's ridiculous. I know one pastor, and he did principal reduction. How many know what principal reduction means? Okay, thank you, one person. Principal reduction means you pay a little bit more every single month, and you don't have to spend 30 years paying off your home. Amen? So he was doing principal reduction, principal reduction, principal reduction. How many know the bank won't tell you this stuff? But your pastor will. And you start making payments, bigger payments than you have to, and next thing you know, the house is paid off. They had just got done in their last payment. And their church was doing a building fund. Watch this. And the Holy Spirit told this man, there's a family in the church, and you need to give your house away to that family. And he thought this. He thought, you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Now that I have this extra money, because he didn't have a house payment no more, he thought, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give my house away. Watch this. I'm going to give my house away. Not going to sell it. I'm going to give it to this family. He gave his house away to that family. And now he's thinking, now what are we going to do? We're going to start saving money up. And I got, you know, some money every month because I'm going to take what I used to do my house payment. I'm now going to start saving that to get into and to buy another home. And the same day he thought that thought, and of course he's running this all by his wife, he goes to church, and he's sitting in church, and they're talking about a three-year campaign. I don't know even know what it was for, but the church had a three-year campaign. They were asking people to make a three-year financial commitment, and guess what the Holy Spirit told them to do? Not give some money, give that exact amount that he was going to start to give his house payment to start, you know what, that he was going to start saving it, give that amount away. Wow. Okay. Well, what does your mind do? I just gave my house away. Now I got to start saving again to get a down payment. Wow. Now you want me to do that? Are you kidding? I forget what it was, maybe 2 months later, somebody in the church came to him and said, hey, there's a foreclosure, and this bank has got to, it's a great deal, and no money down, you can get into this house. How many know he was interested? They went to this house, it was beat up and the carpet was jacked up, the appliances were jacked up. But how many know a home is a home? Amen. And no money down sound did good to him. Why? Because he didn't have no money. Why? Because he's giving that money every month, being obedient to God. Amen? For the next 3 years. So he's got the opportunity. He says, yep, I'll take the home. No money down. The bank comes back to him 2 weeks later and says, here's what we recognize in these foreclosures. Some people could come in because they don't, and here's what they do. They see a house like this, and the carpet's jacked up, and this is jacked up, and they spend all their money, and it's bad for the bank because they end up being over, they spend too much anyway on all these. So here, and we recognize the house is kind of jacked up, so we're going to buy you new carpet and new appliances for your house. Wow. Oh, and you and your wife can pick out what you want. They came in, picked out all the stuff. You know what? They took care of it. And then they came back again and said, you know what? There was some other stuff, some structural stuff, that we want to take care of you also. And we're going to take care of that for you in the house. Take care of all that. When they closed escrow on the house, because even though there was more debt than that, there was still an escrow, they added up how much all this stuff that the bank gave them came up to. Guess how much it came up to? The 3-year commitment that God had asked them to do. You say, Pastor, what's your point? Here's my point. My point is, when you start to hang out with God, there's this supernatural that you're going to start to walk in. But to walk in that, you've got to be obedient to what God asks you to do. We see this over and over again. You know what? I mean, what we see this in this example. What happens if the servants go, the mom, what does the mom say? Do what he asked you to do. Amen. Good advice, Mary. Amen. What happened? What if the servants went and looked at it and said, this is dumb. You know what I mean? What a dumb idea. Say, how many know in some of our minds, what we could say that's a dumb idea. It doesn't make sense. I wonder how much of supernatural things could have we seen God do had we not overrode what God asked us to do. Amen. How much supernatural things could have we seen in our life had we just submitted our will to his will? Hey, how many know those servants might have got in on a little of that wine that day? Amen. Amen. How many know the apostles got some of that you know, fish and chips that day? Come on. Listen, what do you think the apostles did? What do you think they did with you shouldn't say that. You tell me what the answer is. What do you think the apostles did? You know what, when Jesus told them, go out again. They went out again. Their net started to break. They yelled, get out here. The boats. When they came in, the boats were they weren't floating high on the water. You know how boats do. They were so weighed down. The water was almost, they were beginning to sink. So much fish. How many know that was a good payday that day? Think about what you think happened. Here's all I'm saying to you. Is that God speaks to Nathaniel. And he says, let me tell you what, Nathaniel. You hang out with me, here's what you're going to see. You're going to see supernatural stuff happen. So get used to it. Get ready for it. Expect it, because let me tell you what, that's how I roll. I am a supernatural God. And listen, and this kind of preaching, we need to put in front of us. You know what? I don't know if y'all have a church. If you're looking for a church, you found a good one. And let me tell you why. Because at this church, we teach the word of God. Amen? And we don't back off. We say, hey, have an expectation. Get your expectations up. Start believing God. Start believing for the supernatural. Don't allow all your friends to boo-hoo and tell you, oh, you can't, it'll never, it'll always. You know what? Do what Jesus told. Do what Jesus told the crowds. When he looked at that man whose daughter was dead. And he said, hey, you know, I'm paraphrasing. Don't listen to all these Gumbies around you. Because if you listen to me, you know what? You're going to see your daughter live. So let's step out in faith. Let's believe for the supernatural. Let's recognize that's who our God is. Our God is a God of supernatural. That's who he is. That's what he does. Man, what do you think is going to happen in heaven? I'll tell you what. The supernatural is going to be, you know what? It's just going to be like so, you know, watch. The supernatural is going to be natural. Because we're going to see it every day. Oh, watch this. Watch this. See, before Jesus left, he said this to the apostles. He said, you know what? I'm telling you what, if you'll believe, you're going to see the supernatural happen all the time. One of the last things he told them. You're going to speak with new tongues. And there are going to be all kind of people saying, oh, you're making that stuff up. You know what I mean? You're always going to have the naysayers. You're always going to have them. But if you'll believe, you're going to see the supernatural take place. And it wasn't very, very, very many, much time later that, you know what, Peter and John were going to prayer. They saw that guy, you know what, who wasn't able to walk. And they seized him by the hands and they raised him to his feet. And the Bible says, and his feet and his ankles were strengthened. Why'd they do that? Because they expected that he was going to walk. Why would you? Why? You know, if Fernando couldn't walk, why in the world would I seize him by the hand and lift him up to his feet? So he could just fall on his face? No, because they expected him to walk. Why'd they expect him to walk? Because Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So they expected that. I want in 2020, I'm gonna preach this again, not the same sermon, but it's going to be part of this series. But in 2020, let's get our expectations up. In every area of our life, if there's a sickness and disease in your body, let's get that expectation up. Whatever the Lord has put on your heart, if there's an expectation in your marriage, get your hopes up. Let's start expecting, you know what, that the God is supernatural. You know what, Jesus is going to do the supernatural in our life. Amen. How many hearing this? How many receive this? Raise your hand if you receive this. Amen. Father, you see the hands up. I thank you for your message today. I thank you that that God is not a respecter of persons. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just like Nathaniel was going to see, had understood the supernatural, but was going to see it over and over again. Father, I thank you that that's what we're going to do. Yes. And we're going to do it, and we're going to expect it in your name, we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen.